Well, guys, you can't get rid of our podcast, not yet. You can cancel those Red Sox podcasts, though, and I'm sure they'll have a funeral service tonight. But I want to set the stage for what you guys actually just saw, okay? Series tied. Connolly early on the mound, obviously rookie pitcher for Boston. Winner take all at home in front of 50,000 fanatics, right, at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees are starting 2022 seventh round pick Cameron John Schlittler, the 24-year-old. How would he respond? Would he overthrow early? Is he going to settle in after the offense helps him out? That'd sure help, right? Would he get rocked? I mean, there were a lot of people in our comments saying, and I'm not saying that he proved the room wrong, but there was a lot of reason to say that this start would just go haywire, just wouldn't work out. There's too much pressure. We talk all day long about people pitching in New York. He's shown confidence all year, and mostly he's been great, right? Performance-wise, he struggled against the Jays, and watching a contact team essentially run up his pitch count, it was a disaster, 40-pitch innings. But Cam Schlittler tonight goes 8 innings of 5-hit ball, 0 walks, and 12 Ks. It's as good as it gets. Outside of Masataka Yoshida, who was 2-for-4 tonight. I mean, he was taking some really solid at-bats going the other way with some cheese up in the zone. It was complete dominance from Schlittler. And I know people can say, oh, I saw this coming. There's no way you could see it coming because no one's ever seen this before. And again, guys, if you're just joining Yankees Unloaded for the first time, we're live after every single Yankees game, win or loss. And we would love if you would subscribe, rejoin us later. And liking the video is the best possible way you guys can support this channel. Really helps us out. I will be reading on screen all super chats, so we really appreciate those. Jake is out of the building. He's currently at the Rams game. I'm not sure how that game went, but we'll kick off the show discussing Cam Schlittler and what this means. You know, are the Yankees now title contenders? Because we're not that deep into this run. We're now entering into the division series. We'll talk about, you know, the future here for this Yankees team. We'll also talk Boone, who a lot of us said, even if Cam Schlittler pitched well, he wouldn't let him stay in this game. Well, guys, he let him pitch 8 full innings, right? He very easily could have forced Devin Williams on us, right? Bednar for multi-out. He didn't do that. 107 pitches. Aaron Boone stopped being Aaron Boone for a day, and it was really nice. So let's give him credit. We'll talk about that here a little bit later. We'll also talk Stanton getting going. He had an absolute rocket ship out to left center field. He thought it was a home run, and it'll be on SportsCenter if you guys still watch that. It wasn't a home run, okay? Luckily, he made it to second base. I was shocked that he did. Obviously, the left fielder and center fielder were jogging to the ball. They also thought it was gone, so that was good for us. In a much-needed conversation on both Anthony Volpe and Ryan McMahon, McMahon didn't start tonight, but this is both two good conversations. Volpe is hitting 364 thus far. Another knock tonight in McMahon. One hell of a defensive play in foul territory. We'll brush up on Ben Rice's struggles versus Connolly early. The left-hander, you know, a guy who, in my opinion, has one hell of a future. I thought I was looking at Cliff Lee tonight, and that's not what Yankees fans wanted to see. About an inning and two-thirds in, you're like, oh, here we go. He wasn't afraid of us. He wasn't, and you just have to tip your cap. Obviously, we eventually got to him. I thought the defense really let him down for Boston tonight. And, of course, we'll look ahead to the American League Division Series that begins Saturday in Toronto. They did win the season series, so that'll be tough. But I did some digging. Max Fried will be on 4 days rest if he pitches Tuesday. Or he pitched Tuesday, so if he pitches Saturday, he essentially will have 4 days rest, and Max Fried doesn't pitch well on short rest. So we'll discuss who should start that game. Personally, for me, I think Luis Gil would be the perfect candidate, and he'll be wild, but we also have a rested bullpen. So that's kind of my angle there. That game begins at 4:08 Eastern time. But guys, let's start off with Cam Schlittler. Do we have a nickname for this guy yet? I want everyone to realize that we don't necessarily have the youngest audience you've ever seen for a podcast. Most podcasts, everyone's 18, 19 years old, and that's kind of tends to be the audience of podcasts these days, especially for baseball podcasts. Guys, 8 innings of no walks, 12 Ks in a postseason game. Can anyone tell me the last time you saw that? And I'll wait. There's going to be some people here who have seen it. It would be from Tom Seaver in October of 1973. Guys, you don't see that. It is next level what you've just seen. And I was hesitating. What should I put for the title here? Was that the greatest Yankees postseason start of all time? Guys, you have to understand the circumstances, because that changes the conversation at least a little bit here. Rookie pitcher, winner take all, wild card, you won 94 games and you're forced to come out of the loser's bracket, if you will, right? For those of you who played club baseball, you guys have to do it the hard way to put a kid like this at Yankee Stadium and for him to perform that way. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen big starts. I've seen Andy Pettit go out there and put up some of the game's best starts we've seen. He's the guy we've always wanted the ball. I've seen Mike Mussina do something very similar. CC Sabathia in that 09 run in pinstripes. I've seen it all, guys. And there's a lot of people who listen to our show who have seen a lot more than I have. And yet, if you ask them, whose performance really was neck and neck with what you just saw tonight against a division rival in the Boston Red Sox, that list is very short, if not non-existent. So first and foremost, congratulations to Cam Schlittler and to us, because I don't think people realize what was at stake. If we had lost this game, show's over. And I know people say, well, Hal Steinbrenner, all he cares about is chicken buckets. All we care about is the status quo. Well, guys, you can't deliver the status quo if we lose that game. Everything was on Cam Schlittler's shoulders tonight. The man delivered. I could not be more proud of this kid. And Peace Geek with a super thank you for the 10 said the kid was absolutely brilliant tonight. He's special with his stuff and his fortitude. 24 years old with the pressure on, ice in his veins. The future is bright. Guys, that couldn't be more true. The now is bright. The now. Gerrit Cole's coming back next year. And it's not, I can honestly make the argument that Cam Schlittler is showing he can be an ace in this sport. And I get it. You can't really just cement yourself as an ace with one start in the postseason, and that would be absolutely true. But look what he's done all year. Look what he's done. He's not afraid to pitch on the road the way that maybe you could paint Will Warren, right? You can say a lot of our pitchers, you can say that they don't necessarily have ace-like stuff. You need 97, 98 in today's game. You want stuff where if you miss location, you can still dominate a game. And you saw today, Cam Schlittler, zero walks. He was all over the strike zone. Dave Roberts has a famous quote where he says, a lot of times, a lot of guys will walk players because they're afraid. Did anyone get the hint that Cam Schlittler was scared to pitch in pinstripes tonight? I didn't get that. So Peace Geek, really appreciate the super. And Miguel, oh, Paul, welcome in. Really appreciate it. Guys, I'm going to be reading live chat, super chats as well. I'm trying to do a bit of both. Obviously, I'm multitasking here. But Miguel with the two says, we don't need Skeens. We have Cam Schlittler, baby. Yeah, I mean, I love the mentality because it feels like if, and this is a big if, and I'm curious to know what the room thinks, because Max Fried has delivered in big starts as well. He went toe-to-toe with Crochet. I thought he was awesome. Now, Rodon's start wasn't as sexy, but if we were in a big game seven and Fried was rested, Rodon's rested, and Cam Schlittler's rested, who are you guys starting for that game? I'm gonna be honest with you. I know they probably tossed the ball to Max Fried, and they essentially allow his pedigree to carry him through, but man, I would have a hard time not going to Cam Schlittler. And there were a lot of folks, guys, let's keep you honest, who said Luis Gil should have started this game. Put your hands up, by the way. There's no wrong answer, because Jake and I predicted that Gil would start this game about 2 or 3 weeks ago, despite what we wanted, which was Cam Schlittler to start the game. So I'd be really interested to see who thought Gil should start this game. Very wild arm. Very likely, by the way, the Yankees have a tax bullpen. If they went Luis Gil, they probably come out into their bullpen by the fifth or sixth inning. How different does this game feel then? If you're talking Devin Williams, you saw Luke Weaver warm up tonight. How different is this game if Luke Weaver's in the game by the sixth? I mean, we may be looking at 4-3, 4-4 by the ninth inning. Who knows how they would have done, but I didn't want to see that. But Miguel, really appreciate it. And yeah, obviously if Paul Skeens can become a member of this team, would love it. But it seems like The Yankees, Brian Cashman, Boone, it seems like they have their future ace on their hands for very cheap for the foreseeable future. So absolutely love that. And Miguel, thank you for the super. And Ben, thank you for the five. Says Sox fan here, just say congrats and also really enjoy your show. Ben, thank you for being here. I mean, it's interesting to me that we do have a lot of fans of opposing teams and they tend to enjoy the show. You don't really see that often elsewhere. I mean, I do take a gander at other shows and just see how it goes. I think a lot of it has to do with the room we've built. It's pretty cordial. They want to talk baseball, right? People want to learn. I want to learn, right? We've learned a ton from people, obviously, in our comment section. But Ben, again, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. And the Toronto Blue Jays, we played them well at home, you know, of late. But it's a different animal going to Toronto. They dominated there all year. And you're going to have to rewrite that story. Cam Schlittler didn't pitch well in that series. You're going to see him in this series, hopefully at home. I would love to see that. But, you know, I'd be curious to see how this goes. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But thank you, Ben. Really appreciate that. And Paul from the UK. Yeah, never could forget. 0430 UK time. Wow. Cam was cold throwing heat. Overreact the zone, 12 Ks, all over the zone. You're absolutely right. 12 Ks, zero walks, great fielding. We'll talk about the great fielding here in just a second because the defense was, it was great. I know Ben Rice made an error early in the game. We'll talk about Ben Rice. Great fielding and saving big hits for the Blue Jays. Let's go Yankees. Worth the no sleep and on to Toronto. Guys, let's, first and foremost, Paul, thank you for the super. Love to see some yellow on there. Guys, the Yankees in general, they have a path to playing a clean game of baseball. We didn't have that last year. We had Juan Soto, right? That's a good problem to have, right? He's not the best defensive player. We all knew what he was. But guys, if you looked around in our outfield, we had Aaron Judge playing out of position in center field. He drops a fly ball in the World Series. You've got ground balls hit to Rizzo. We complained the whole year that Rizzo refuses to take the bag himself. Now, on that play, you have Gerrit Cole staring at him and no one's covering the bag. Everyone, you know, Mookie Betts is safe. Ruins the game, right? They refused in 2024 to play a clean brand of baseball. You're nursing a 2-3-4-5 run lead. You can't trust last year's team. You can't, because they can't make all the little plays that you could just clean up by practicing the fundamentals and executing those fundamentals. Paul brings it up here in the super. Great fielding. How many times did somebody super chat, hey, we fielded great tonight. We didn't get the big hit, but we won and we fielded great. How many of you said that to me? Nobody, right? And Jake will be here, right, later this week, you know, for the Jay series. And I'm going to ask him, when was the last time anyone said that to us? The Yankees just played so clean today, right? Anthony Volpe did his job over there. Jazz Chisholm, he did his job. Ryan McMahon went out there and fielded his position off the bench. Guys in the outfield were making the right throws, not throwing in front of runners and letting people advance. We played stupid last year. And guys, we also did that earlier this year, and we criticized that. Absolutely. But now for all the marbles, isn't this when it really matters for you to play smart and clean baseball? It's what they're doing. So the Yankees didn't hit a home run today. I thought the fact that they won a game without hitting a home run, it speaks volumes as to where we are, and it shows that we can play the brand of baseball going into Toronto that may not be as sexy, but we can leave with a win and go back to Yankee Stadium and actually have some momentum and build off something. So, Paul, really appreciate the super. Thank you. And then let's get back over. I want to see where I'm at. Much easier to do when you're not by yourself, but let's see. Thank you, Paul. And Mark, with the two, Mark the Goat, says the Sox are officially on the Schlitt list with a turd and a toilet. gotta love the emojis. So, Mark, thank you for the super. I think a lot of people, we really moved the goalposts. I saw it on social media. I was really happy. I'm going to be honest with you. This is sports. We're supposed to enjoy ourselves. I mean, we don't have to be poor sports, but, you know, you can rub it in right at the beginning. And when I was super excited on social media, they're like, oh, well, you guys were always the better team. It's like, well, that's what we told you before the series started. We should still be happy that we got the job done, right? The last year, I think, really, Padres, Dodgers were the two best teams in baseball. That was just my opinion. Now, and by the end, it doesn't really matter who's the best on paper. It matters who plays the best baseball. The Yankees played the best baseball in this series, and they move on. So, Mark, really appreciate it, and you're right. They are on the Schlitt list. An XDSC hitman with the 20. Thank you for that. Love to see some orange. Says Cam Schlittler made MLB history playing the best game of his career. He is a dog and our future ace. Protect him at all costs. Appreciate your streams. And thank you, Hitman. We really appreciate the support. I know all thank, you know, Jake also is very thankful. He just wasn't able to make it tonight. But guys, this was the best start of his career. How many pitchers that are in our staff have had a start better than that? Has Rodon done that before? Has Max Fried ever pitched in a winner take all and put up a performance like that? I mean, when I look at a list and Tom Seaver's the only guy on the list, and by the way, guys, a little quick trivia, Tom Seaver was on that list of 12 Ks, right, going eight innings in a winner-take-all. Tom Seaver gave up 2 runs in that game. You've never seen a performance like this, so Hitman, I want people to conceptualize how brilliant he just was, and I think the one thing that Yankees fans can hang their hat on, this is the best part of all of it, is Cam Schlittler is going to be a mismatch in the Toronto series. I know that he struggled early on in the season. Cam said something we didn't really like at the time. He said he was tipping pitches. Now, the results post of that start told the story that maybe he was onto something. I still didn't love it, but maybe, guys, if he really was, and there was some truth to that, we can expect some success against the Toronto Blue Jays, whether it be on the road or at home. So, again, Hitman, thank you for the super. And Matthew Bono with the 10 says, amazing game. Schlitt happens. Guys, what's his nickname? Is it just Schlitt? Like, what is his nickname? I honestly need to look at the live chat as well. I got to see what people are calling this young man. Because we'll call him a young man. He's 24 years old. We don't have to treat him like he's a Boy Scout. He's you can look at his face. That is a grown man right there. Not afraid at all. Fearless Cam the man. And he's number 31. I might invest in a jersey. Guys, that's a good way to spend my money, I would say, right? Cam Schlittler, he's under team control for years to come. I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. I think it makes a lot of sense. He's cold-blooded. Killa Cam. I like Killa Cam. Yeah. Finster, thank you for that. I mean, Killer Cam is really good. I mean, let's be real. But Matthew, really appreciate the super. And we'll get to Fernando here. And we'll also get to our other topics as well, guys. I want to just make sure I get your supers up there as fast as possible. I know we usually take forever. It's like a damn scroll to get to it. Fernando Matos, thank you for the 2. Says Torrey must have had a convo with Boone after game 2. Okay. I'm curious to know, because we need to be honest with ourselves. This goes for all jobs. Sometimes we make decisions in what we do, and it ends up being a mistake, a predictable mistake. I would say most people who listen to this podcast would say, oh, so predictable for Aaron Boone to jump to his bullpen, regardless of how his pitcher's throwing. Is it Max Fried? It could be damn 0-1 Randy Johnson. Is it Kerry Wood on his way to 20 strikeouts? It doesn't matter how the pitcher's throwing. If he's at 100 pitches, you got to come out. I got to go to my bullpen. I got to go to Cruz. I got to go to Weaver right in the seventh inning, despite no reason to do so. Now, Aaron Boone very clearly saw the decision he made with Max Fried and said, I can't make that choice again. I can't make that choice. Now, you can absolutely argue, and this will be somewhat of some folks' argument, because there were people saying, no, Fried had to come out of the game. He was slowing down. Now, Cam Schlittler, on the other hand, wasn't slowing down. There was no sign of slowing down. Matter of fact, you could even, if you didn't know the pitch count, you could have argued that Cam Schlittler could go out there and pitch the 9th. Couldn't he have? I think he would have been just fine. Now, mind you, it doesn't mean it's the right choice. You still want to protect him given the situation of the game. But I don't think Cam Schlittler stays in this game as long as he does if we didn't make that mistake in game 1 as well as Fried pitched. So, yeah, Fernando, completely agree. It felt like someone got in his ear. I would assume nobody did. I think what happened is that Aaron Boone – he's still a former professional baseball player, guys. We have to keep in mind who he is. He still knows the game. You need to be able to read the situation. Say, I screwed that up. Let me go fix that later. And thankfully, right on time, a winner take all game three. We move on to the division series. And T-Bag with the two says Boone made the best decision of his life tonight. Sure did, because it wasn't a clear decision. Could have gone with Luis Gil, the second year arm. Easily could have pulled Cam Schlittler and been scared and went to a reliever that he trusts for reasons that we can't describe. But T-Bag could not agree more. And Daniel, thank you for the five. Says, congrats on the series win. Should be a great American League Division Series. Jays will be rested. Their rotation and bullpen will be ready. Bo, a big loss for the Jays. Yeah, Bo got hurt on a slide, unfortunately. And that's a bummer. We want to see teams healthy. That's going to make an impact because, guys, keep in mind that Cam Schlittler start in Toronto, where Cam really, frankly, couldn't get off the mound, pitched 40 pitches in the first inning. Really, Bo Bichette had a major impact on that. He and Kirk, 10, 11 pitch at bats, really running up that pitch count and changing the style of the game into their favor. That's going to make an impact, right? Just like Roman Anthony and his departure really made an impact in this series as well. But thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate that. They are going to be rested, but will they be rusty? I know we won't be, but you could also argue our offense really hasn't gotten going. If this offense can start to hit, if Giancarlo Stanton can become more consistent, if Judge starts to slug, we could be really dangerous here in this run. But Daniel, thank you for the super. And Omar Ortiz with the five says, does Warren and or Clark become trade chips, or do we have them for a 5-6 man rotation? Guys, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've been transparent about this for years. Six-man rotations are not the business. They don't work. You can't get in a rhythm. What type of value do you lose if you've got a Cam Schlittler and you see him for two or three less starts in the year? You're losing value. Some of your better pitchers just frankly pitch less. You can argue that it does protect them physically, but what's the point? The way I see it is that those surpluses tend to work themselves out. This year, we thought we were going to have Gerrit Cole, Rodon, right? We didn't know Schlittler was going to be here to this level, but the list goes on. You just make the assumption, oh, we've got four guys you can argue could be a damn ace. But baseball works itself out. I do think the Yankees are going to look out there and say, can we flip one of these pitchers and go get a position player at a position of need? Could it be shortstop, third base, maybe into the outfield? Who knows what they'll do? But it does present an opportunity as we go into winter meetings, which at Yankees Unloaded, we're going to do our absolute best. We're going to be sending all our stuff into Major League Baseball. We're going to try our best to cover winter meetings from the lobby at the hotel. That should be a lot of fun. But Omar, really appreciate the super. And William V, thank you for the five. Says Cam just looks great. Who starts on Saturday? Guys, let's talk that real quick. Because folks thought, as good as Cam Schlittler, not as he looked tonight, because now it's set in stone who the Yankees' clear three is. You could argue Cam Schlittler might be our two now. But there were a lot of folks saying Luis Gil should start this game. He's got a lot of issues with his control. He's not all over the zone the way you saw tonight, where you're not going to get a zero walk performance. It's going to be very Blake Snell-esque, right? Blake Snell's long been on record saying, hey, I want to go out there. I may walk a guy, I may walk the eight hitter and frustrate you, but I'm going to go out there and strike out the nine. I'm going to strike out the leadoff hitter. My goal is not necessarily to go as deep into the game as possible. I'm trying to prevent runs. That's what Luis Gil does. Luis Gil is a guy who's going to go out there and give you three, four, maybe even five walks, prevent runs because he's got some of the game's best stuff. But guys, here's the most important part. He's rested. He is rested, and our bullpen's rested. So if Toronto does what they do, and they're finding ways to get on base, they're finding ways to fight off pitches, I expect them to do that. This is going to be a tough series, but if Luis Gil's pitching and that's going on, okay, well, I can go to my rested bullpen. Still not in love with going to our bullpen. I still think it's a major red flag. It's a major question mark for the Yankees. What do we think about Weaver? What do we think about Devin Williams? Pitch well against the Chicago White Sox and other bottom feeder teams, but what will they do against some of the games best bats? And that I don't really want to find out, but we will find it out. I think game one with Luis Gil is the option. You certainly could make the decision to go short rest with Fried, but I think that really sets them behind on the eight ball. It, just do things the way that, that it really ends up working out the schedule. I think that baseball did a good job where you can't just go win the wild card and now tee up your ace for game one. I think that's a little silly. You're the hot team. But William, thank you for the super, very thought-provoking. And Ninja Hot Dog with the five says, I'll always brag I was at the 2025 Yankees Red Sox wild card games 2 and 3. Yeah, Ninja, I did hear you were at this game. Really appreciate it. And says they were both phenomenal. What a game to go to. Ninja, you'll have to put in the comment section how loud it was over there, because I can tell you right now, I was massively disappointed with regular season Yankees crowds. I was. I was pissed. Didn't like it at all. People were late to games. There were empty seats. Didn't sound like the crowd was energized. And a lot of people said, no, 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 I was at the game. It was still loud. No, it wasn't. This game, and there were people who were in our comments and are also a member of ours in Yankees Unloaded. Some members of ours said, no, no, I was at the game. It was louder than the championship series that I went to a few years back. That tells you the story of how electric. And it tells you Yankees, Red Sox, albeit they weren't necessarily as ready this year. We didn't get a 5-7 game series the way that you would love to have. But this is the next best thing. It was awesome. So Ninja, really appreciate the super. And Herb, Wind, and Fire with the two. Thank you. Says, you are as good reporting as your dad was at playing. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Not as highly paid to do it, but Herb, you know, one day we'll see what happens. Herb, thank you for the super. Really appreciate it. And Scott Ross, the GOAT, thank you for the five. Says ALDS, two good offenses, two bad bullpens, and the Yanks have significant starter advantage. That I do agree with. And I'm actually going to pull up the depth chart so that we get an opportunity to see exactly how this looks. Basically tied for the AL East. I mean, you can make that argument. We won the same amount of games, 94 wins. They beat us in the season series. They absolutely deserved. I know that it pissed people off watching the Rays not put their starters in and give us an opportunity to win that division in the final day. But guys, we earned being in the position that we're in. We didn't take care of business against division rivals with Toronto. They took care of us. They did. I know we got the better of them at Yankee Stadium late in the season, but they earned it. So now we're going to show up as road dogs and let's go out there and take home field advantage right from them early. They don't have the best starting pitching. They just don't. I thought what you saw today from early, that was some of the best pitching I'd seen in a while. I know we eventually got to them. Credit to us, but early was really good. I'm expecting the Yankees to hit the starters in Toronto. We absolutely have the advantage, and I think a lot of that will be predicated on what Luis Gil does in game one. If he can set the tone and keep the Yankees in the game with a rested bullpen, and we can find a way to win game one, well, now you're turning around the rotation with really some mismatches. You go into game two, Toronto's two is not as good as Max Fried, right? Toronto's, their three, hell, their four is, they may even have to throw short rest going into a game four. Cam Schlittler might go out there and pitch against Toronto's four. What does that look like? What does it look like if they pitch their ace on short rest? Who knows, right? There's a ton of question marks. Five games to crown the real East champ. I love that. I love that mentality because I will say they're the East champs, but to say you're the better team, I think everyone all agrees. You establish who's the best team in October. This is where boys become men. So Scott, thank you for the super. Really appreciate you supporting the channel. I know Jake is very appreciative as well. And Herb, Wind, and Fire with the two said Schlitt happens. I've heard that a lot. Schlitt happens. I can't wait, by the way, to go on YouTube and just watch a montage. And I would turn on ESPN. You know, back in the day, they used to show baseball. And now if it's not Scott Van Pelt, it's just a waste of time. But Herb, thank you for that. And Ness with the five says Volpe and Wells deserve their flowers after the series. Camster clutch, ace in the making, let's go. Let's talk Anthony Volpe. Let's. He's hitting 364 in the series. Guys, I know it's a three-game series, right? It doesn't mean a ton. But Anthony Volpe's defense in game two is in large part why we're here. He's had some big hits, establishing momentum. What's the thought on Anthony Volpe now? I'm not trying to push people's buttons. I'm not trying to challenge anyone. I want to know in the live chat. And of course, guys, if you're just joining us, please be sure to subscribe. We have almost 800 people in here. Subscribe and like the video. Liking the video is the best way. Obviously, super chats are super helpful for our channel. Really appreciate all of them. But guys, how does everyone feel about Anthony Volpe? Because I understand a lot of people will say, no, I still want a great shortstop for the Yankees. I still want to look elsewhere. But you also have to be, I shouldn't say realistic because I hate that term in New York. But I guess the question is, you have to have an answer as to the direction the Yankees go. Anthony Volpe has proven one thing. He struggles in the regular season. He goes into October, he's a new player. When everyone says, no, if you're not going to hit, you better field your damn position. You better go out there under pressure in the clutch, innings 7 through 9. What are you going to do then? Anthony Volpe in October baseball fields his position. Anthony Volpe takes solid at-bats. He finally takes pitches off the plate. We've been asking for that for 6 months. He was practically leading the league in errors, right? And you've got a podcast with the Yankees saying, hey, Boone, what's going on with the arm accuracy? And he's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean, what are we talking about? It's a perfectly valid question to ask. And yet, here we are in October, the throws are accurate. People talked about the cortisone in the shoulder. Looks healthy now. No one's talking about his shoulder. No one's talking about a potential surgery. Anthony Volpe looks like a player who can play shortstop for the Yankees. Issue is he needs to look like this during the regular season because that's also part of the job. It's what helps us win divisions so we don't have to play series like this. So Anthony Volpe, I would love to know, you know what people think of this player because he's a guy who gets up for October, but for 162 games of the regular season, he's not good enough. And it's just, it's so interesting, you know, exactly how people should think of him. And Stephanie, who obviously is a member here, says, I appreciate that he's shown up under pressure, but he's got to tighten up. I mean, I completely agree. I absolutely agree. Anthony Volpe hasn't been someone we could rely on long-term, but in these short sample sizes, guys, he turns it up. He does. We have to give him his credit and his props because we don't survive without this, right? Hits a big World Series Grand Slam in 2024. That's a major play for the Yankees. It's huge. Want to get to this. Ness with the 5. Thank you, Ness. Really appreciate it. It says Volpe and Wells deserve their flowers. I already got to that. So thank you again, Ness. And Scott Ross, who's a member for the last 2 months, has the comment, think if Clark doesn't get hurt, he starts today. You know, honestly, Clark was always going to get hurt. And that is with all due respect. Huge Clark Schmidt fans on this podcast. I mean, we've talked about it at length for those of you who have been listening to our podcast for now years. We've talked about it. He's a guy who's high output. He's not reliable in a physical way. He's just not going to be physically available. Jonathan Loaisiga is in the same group. It's unfortunate. We were rooting for both of those guys to be contributors. We didn't have high hopes in the postseason for either because of that health. But, man, those are two guys that you just root to be there, but you just sort of know they're not. But, I mean, yeah, Scott, you can absolutely make the argument that the Yankees maybe lean towards veteran in a tight spot like this and a crunch, and then people are having a conversation that Cam Schlittler should just come out the bullpen and we'll just never figure out the brilliance that we had underneath the hood. Cam Schlittler now that we've seen what we've seen, the injuries have bounced the way they've bounced, we moved heel where we moved him. Now it's established that Cam Schlittler is one of the game's brightest young stars. This is a star performance. Jake, actually, I want to bring up something that he mentioned. So Scott, I'm glad you actually talked about this. Jake said, you know, what's just so interesting is no matter how rookies play in New York, they don't really go mainstream the way that you would think, right? You go see a Luis Gil go out there and set it off for a year, a Severino, you know, back in the day. You see them go out there and set it off for their rookie season. And then yet we'll go into Anaheim and you'll talk to an Angels fan or you'll talk to a Dodgers fan and they'll say, who's this guy? I go, what do you mean? He might win the rookie of the year. He is going to win the rookie of the year. And they still have no idea who this is. Now everybody knows who he is. Cam Schlittler, when he goes to a mound in Arizona and he flies into San Diego, he flies into Seattle, every fan knows exactly who he is now. He's on the mound. This was his come out party. So obviously you can't hide it anymore. Cam Schlittler is a star. So couldn't be happier to say that. Rocky Sullivan with the 10. See some yellow. Thank you, Rocky. Really appreciate it. Said, I would activate heal for them. There you have it. Great minds think alike. Love the suit, by the way. I would activate heal for the American League Division Series in game one. Could not agree more. Not set in stone what the Yankees will do because, I mean, if you take a look, Rodon obviously pitched even, you know, sooner than Fried. Fried pitched game one. Would be short rest for Fried, Rodon. The decision to pitch Warren on the road for game one would be a disaster. I know from a physical standpoint, he has in his life pitched well on the road before, but should that be the direction that the Yankees go with a guy who is built up as a starter? I don't think so. I think it would be silly. I think that would be really stupid. Luis Gil has the stuff to deal with Toronto. He does. And the fact that we do have a bullpen who's ready to go, only Bednar pitched today. You go Schlittler to Bednar. Everyone's at your disposal. I know that that's not the best thing to hear that, oh, we can use the whole Yankees bullpen, but you can use Hill if you need it in a matchup. You can go out there and use, right? Devin Williams looked good in this series. You can go use Devin Williams if you need him in a game one in a short start. So I think Luis Gil is the option. Couldn't agree more, Rocky. Do not go to Will Warren. That's just my choice. I could be wrong. It could be what they do, but I don't see that being the right play. And Justin, thank you for the 5, says the Schlitt show has arrived. Wow, the Schlitt show. Unreal. It sounds like something I would say. He is the one to take us to the next level. Where do I start with this? Where do I start? If Cam Schlittler is in a World Series game, is anybody worried? Because that's a different stage, right? Obviously. But I think, really, when you're talking about the wild card round, division series, championship series, it doesn't matter who you're playing. When you're talking about winner take all, it's a game 7 scenario. You know, Alex Cora pregame was saying, hey, Garrett Crochet is available for an inning or two. Yeah. Whitlock, available for an inning. It's a winner take all. Everyone, all hands on deck. When you get in that scenario, honestly, that's as much pressure as you'll see. You won't see more pressure in the World Series. Cam Schlittler's ready for all of it. And that's a great point to make, is that this could bring us to the next level. It just puts another guy in the room where we can just flip the ball to him and say, I don't have to worry about him. I need to worry about the offense, right? And Aaron Boone today, I actually really like the lineup, but we'll talk about Ben Rice and the fact that he took those at-bats against early, was just dominated, unproductive at-bats. It was disappointing, right? We were rooting for him to start this game. But yeah, what's really going to take this team to the next level? Having another ace-like guy who can go out there and shut it down. But guys, the big key for the Yankees, believe it or not, it's not even the bullpen. It's going to be the offense. The Yankees won today's game, obviously behind Cam Schlittler. He was the number one thing. They didn't hit a home run. They found ways to put the ball in play, force the defense. It actually looked a lot like what the Dodgers did to us in game 5. They didn't do anything spectacular. It was a little 2-out single here, spray a ball in the infield here, guy can't get to it, off a glove there. Find a way to make something happen by putting the ball in play, and nothing can happen when you strike out. And I'll tell you right now, nothing good is happening when you do that. Obviously, you saw that with Ben Rice, where he's striking out with runners in scoring position, nobody out, we're looking to get someone over. Nothing good can happen. So to see us put the ball in play, Volpe put the ball in play, Stanton, right, alike, they were finding ways to make action happen. If this team can score, we will win. It's just a matter of if we will score. That's a huge if. So we'll see what happens, obviously, in game one. And B3rd, the third, with the 5, thank you for that, says it's a different team than before the All-Star break. The Yankees will defeat the Blue Jays. So I want to take a look at where these games are, okay? Because I'm unaware, right? We're going into game one. That's in Toronto. Game 2 is in Toronto. You get the day off. You go back to Yankee Stadium for 2. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Yankees can find a way to win one of the two games, they would be in the driver's seat. Toronto's played well all year. All year. Won twice as many games at home as they've lost. They were dominant, right? Very similar to what you saw out of Milwaukee. The difference between their records was how Milwaukee played on the road. But guys, to defeat the Blue Jays, you've got to take home field. You've got to find a way to win one of those two games on the road. The most winnable game, no doubt about it, will be game two, right? It's absolutely an opportunity. We're not running into the 98 Yankees here. Toronto's a beatable team. They're a good team. Well coached. They're going to run the bases well. They're not going to run into mistakes. Bo will not be part of this series. So offensively, they are going to be hampered here a bit. They're not as strong as they were when we saw them last physically. So we'll see where they are health-wise. But as far as, you know, I guess you say stamina, they didn't have to play in a wild card. So maybe they're rusty. Maybe we can go strike early in game one. You never know. But I would agree with you. B3, we are a different team. Well, thankfully, because we were horrendous in June and July. We were not a good baseball team. I'll put it to you blank. And my mom, thank you, Mom, for the two, says my pods schlit the bed. So thank God the Yankees won. Yeah, the Padres offense let them down today. Obviously, this isn't Padres Unloaded. There will be a Padres Unloaded very soon. I shouldn't say very soon, but soon. And, you know, you got to score to win. I know everybody says pitching wins championships, and it's easy to say that when Cam Schlitler goes up there and Schlitz all over the Boston Red Sox. But, guys, you got to score. You have to find a way. Oh, leadoff double. You don't score just by touching second base and high-fiving your coach and handing him your shin guard. It's impressive to do it, but you don't score by touching second and third base. You score by executing with runners in scoring position or hitting home runs. It's the only way. So, the San Diego Padres, it's the reason I said they wouldn't win the World Series this year. I was massively disappointed with their offense. And, now they're going home. Tough life. They've got to go back to their home in San Diego. So, appreciate it, Mom. And Scott Ross with the five. Thank you, Scott. Says, key moment. Bad Jazz throw that Volpe picked. In July, that ball is in left field. August 1st, never thought we would be here. You know, I'm glad you brought up that the Jazz throw wasn't good. I'm glad you brought it up because this is the same conversation that we talked about with a lot of Anthony Volpe throws from shortstop to first base. And Paul Goldschmidt was our first baseman more times than not, right? Against lefties. And oftentimes, somehow, he'd be playing against righties, even with Ben Rice on the roster. Guys, Paul Goldschmidt wasn't picking a lot of those balls in the dirt. It's still Anthony Volpe's fault. You have to make a strong throw, but you can pick your teammates up and help them and prevent them from making errors that can really cost you games, and it puts the blame on the player, you know, like an Anthony Volpe or in this case a Jazz Chisholm. People would be talking about Jazz, and Scott, it's funny, obviously you're more in-depth fan, but you mentioned that Jazz made a poor throw. Most people wouldn't notice because they said, well, his teammate picked him up. We just don't care because we got the result we wanted. And that's fair. But guys, that's part of it. Good fielders help their teammates, right? If somebody doesn't pick a ball up in the sun, another player will come over there and take care of it. Ball's thrown in the dirt, he'll pick it. It's not a problem. Ball's up the line, he'll get it and tag the runner. Find a way to help your teammates. Anthony Volpe did that, and it's the reason he's on this roster. He's supposed to be a sure-handed shortstop who can hit a little bit. That's really who he is. And right now, Scott, isn't that exactly what we're getting? Superb defense. I mean, it's not the greatest defense in the world, but it's really good. If we get really good defense from Anthony Volpe, and we just trust and believe that Aaron Judge will go out there and make a real impact, and he'll start slugging, because he's still getting his hits. He didn't, obviously, today, but he'll start slugging. Giancarlo Stanton narrowly missed a home run. It was halfway up the wall today. He's getting going. You trust the others, the big guys, to go out there and do their jobs offensively. Let's trust Anthony Volpe periodically to help with the bat, periodically, and go out there and field his position. So he did that today. I want to give credit to Volpe. And Daniel, again, thank you guys for the supers. Really helps out the channel. Daniel, thank you for the five. Says, I believe the Jays had one of the best bullpens in September. Still feel arrested, Gausman. Let me get this off my screen. Rested Gausman, Bieber. Yeah. Bassett is pretty good. It is really good, right? And we've seen Gausman a million times. We've just seen him a lot. And Aaron Judge has seen him a lot. This is advantage Yankees. I know that a lot of people say that Gausman, when you lead off with him, we've seen Bieber before. We lit Bieber actually at Yankee Stadium when he played for Cleveland. I want people to know it's not an advantage for a lot of these arms when you've seen these hitters often. It's just not. The more often you get a chance to see a pitcher, the better off you are. And you saw Red Sox hitters tonight. They haven't seen a ton of Cam Schlittler. The stuff was just out of this world, but they just had no chance, not having any experience against Schlittler and what potentially would be coming their way. It looked like they'd never seen, I mean, and I can't blame them, some 95, and people were texting me, 96 mile an hour cutter, my God. I said, I know. But these Red Sox hitters, they looked like they saw a ghost. It looked like if Babe Ruth took an at bat tonight. So, Daniel, yeah, you're absolutely right. Really good rotation over there in Toronto. Rested bullpen, pitched really well in September. Offense was good, not great in September. So we'll see how much pressure they put on our staff as well, or our bullpen. So, Daniel, thank you. And Apex, obviously a mod here at Yankees Unloaded. Thank you for the two. Thank you for being our mod. Says Kay and Curry suggested Heal and Warren piggyback. Oh, a little double-barreled action. Okay. So, would you guys want Will Warren pitching on the road? Because you have to remember, there's a difference between what you could do and what is plausible to work, right? And isn't that the job of Aaron Boone, is not only determining what is possible to work, but also what does each player on our roster do well? Let's stop and think. What does Will Warren do that pops off the screen? He pitches really well at home. He didn't pitch well at home the last time he pitched, and that was disappointing and surprising. But overall, if you stretch out his performance in 2025, just like we told you guys to take a look at Weaver in the seventh inning, Jake brought those numbers to the table and said, well, Weaver's horrible in the seventh. Why'd we do that? And I said, you know what? You're right. Why did we? Well, same thing goes when you're talking about a pitcher like Will Warren. Will Warren got shelled this year on the road. Totally different pitcher. Pitch essentially to an ERA above five. I don't want to see that. So yes, you could say Luis Heal can go out there, and you could even go Warren, and innings wise they can cover it. I almost would rather see Yarbrough go out there in double barrel in that situation. But personally, given what happened today with Cam Schlittler and the fact that he went eight strong innings and we only saw Bednar, I just go Heal and pitch our bullpen, man. Get those guys some work, get them going. They had today essentially off. Nobody pitched except for Bednar. And then you go into tomorrow. We get the day off. We get tomorrow's day off. And then the next day, really our bullpen had 2 days off. What do we need a double barrel for? So I appreciate, obviously, the suggestion. Huge fan of Kay and Curry. They do a spectacular job. But I just don't see any sense in why Warren would pitch unless we're nursing some healthy lead, which I obviously talked about in today's game. Now, before the game. But Mark, thank you for the five. Really appreciate the super. Says Jazz's throws to second have been concerning. Volpe saved him on a double play attempts several times. His D is incredible, but throws need to tighten up. You know what, guys? I think we do have to acknowledge that certain players just have strengths and certain players have weaknesses. We've seen this with Jose Altuve, right? And Jose Altuve has since been moved to left field. It's not necessarily why they did so, but there was a point where Jose Altuve couldn't throw the ball, and this is a future Hall of Famer, couldn't make basic throws from second base to first. So this just happens. It just does. And is it unfortunate? Yeah, he has all the tools in the world to make these plays. And for the most part, he makes them. They're not the prettiest, but he's also got the arm strength. He was developed as a shortstop, moved to center field in Miami, and then now moved back into the infield. We saw him at third base. That's for a reason. He's got a cannon. Not the best arm accuracy. So I'm not worried about his defense. I'm just not. I think that the one thing about Jazz that I can't say I'm concerned about, but it's what I'm paying attention to. Jazz needs to be all over the base pass in Toronto at Yankee Stadium against the Jays in this division series. The Yankees, if they really want to go out there and be a consistent offense, he needs to get going in a major way. And I think he can do a little bit less, put the ball in play, make something happen. And then wait for the big guys, Judge, Stanton, Bellinger to get the big hits. I know he's got pop. I want to see some balls in play. The defense obviously needs to improve, but will it is another question. But Mark, thank you for the super. And Ness, thank you for the two, says Commissioner Cam, Commander Cam. God, what was the nickname that I loved earlier? I'm good on saying Schlittler. I don't, obviously it's his name, so it's not like this is an Xbox Live name that he made up. But I like leaning in on the Cam. It's nice and simple. Killa Cam is what I liked. So obviously, I want to throw that up on screen. Respect, Shaq. Thank you for that. And guys, again, if you're new here at Yankees Unloaded, please be sure to subscribe. Please be sure to like the video. Liking the video is the best way to support us. Obviously, outside of a super chat, really appreciative of that. And let me get to, because I know there was something else we wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk Ben Rice, because frankly, I want to get to our final super chat and then we'll talk Ben Rice here. But Ness, thank you for that super. And John Kirk with the 10 says, Schlittler tonight reminded me of what Cole looked like when he was on the Astros, overpowering, my God. I mean, at that point, I think pitchers were still using, what did Trevor Bauer call it, the sticky stuff? Pitches were moving a foot. He was throwing 100 plus miles an hour. He had the slider, the changeup. He had everything working. He still had his designated catcher Maldonado over there in Houston. It was a show. I don't know if it was a show like that. That was pretty impressive. Says it was overpowering. It was like 2003 World Series Game 5, Yankees Marlins, and Josh Beckett. Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while. Went 9 innings, overpowering us 2-0. Please do not remind me of how that went. I guess the good news was I wasn't a Yankees fan by that point. I became a Yankees fan the following year. So right on time to witness the worst collapse in Yankees history. So beautiful. But John, thank you for the super. And our final super chat for now, Jimbo Slice with a 5 says the fact that Killa Cam. Yeah, Killa Cam. I'm settled on Killa Cam. So let's go ahead and commit to the bit. The fact that Killa Cam did this against his hometown team, the kid is nails. What a win. Let's go, Yanks. Did everyone see pregame that they were interviewing Cam Schlittler, is really all week, and they were asking him, hey, do you have a family of Red Sox fans? He's like, yep, I've converted them all to Yankees fans, which I don't know if I believe. I kind of believe it, right? I've converted my mom to a hybrid of Padres and Yankees fans, but the Yankees are a really easy team to root against, and I don't blame people, right? And people want to talk about the Yankees, whether we win or not. But I will say, Cam Schlittler, whoever raised him, they're absolute psychopaths who has raised this young man. This is a mentality you just don't see. By the way, guys, put in the comment section a personality that you've seen in the game. I mean, I really see Andy Pettit in him. Right, completely different stuff. He's not throwing cutters on the hands, trying to miss the barrel of the bat. He's trying to overpower you. But the mentality that he has is, I'm going to shove my fist up your ass, and that's, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to punch you in the face. There's nothing you're going to do. I'm bigger, faster, stronger, more talented. Nothing you're going to do is going to undo what I'm about to do. And that's what he did. That was his mentality. He looked like a veteran. And you didn't see any Fernando Cruz fist pumps, or he didn't see him do any Ozzie Smith backflips and back handsprings off the mound. He looked like he honestly looked like it was a spring training outing, and he just walked off the mound. Without the crowd and their presence and the score bugs, you wouldn't know what he just did. That is a psychopath, guys. I want you to know that the World Series won't be big enough for him. The Championship Series, this is the type of guy, if he doesn't perform well, it just simply had to do with an off day and not the moment. That's a good problem. That is a good problem to have. So absolutely love that. Stone cold. Yeah, love that. Completely agree, Jimbo Slice. Stone cold, man. Really cool what he's done. And Mark, with the 2, says Big G in postgame, and he quotes, kids don't do that at home. That's no kid. Guys, I've tried to really explain this. And I said this before the postseason. I said, Jake, rookies and second-year players, right? Young players. We talked about Juan Soto in his Washington days. They have just as much impact on the postseason as any veteran. They just do. I know we tend to want to lean to the veterans in a big game six on the road or whatever have you. We tend to do that. But if you really look at the World Series and World Series wins, you can always locate a singular, maybe even a couple, young assets on each team. You say, well, that guy was a major difference maker. Oh, wow, if he wasn't developed or if he wasn't called up midseason, where's this team? That tends to be how the league is, guys, right? And you saw it with the Dodgers with Yamamoto. You're like, oh, if he just didn't choose the Dodgers, how would this run go? New players to Major League Baseball make major impact all the time. They don't make impact like what we just saw, where they just dominate a division rival, but they find ways. So I want people to obviously give credit where it's due. He wasn't scared. Wasn't scared at all. And I want to discuss Giancarlo Stanton today because Stanton hit a ball. And Mark, thank you for the super. I do see Mr. Shaman 76, thank you for being a member. Says Cam was stole code Schlittman tonight. Totally agree. I'll leave that up on screen as we talk Giancarlo. Giancarlo Stanton is a major key to what we're going to do in Toronto and then as we return back to Yankee Stadium for a game three in the division series. Huge. Here's why. Jason Dominguez, really, he very well could have a role on the 2025 postseason roster. He's on the team, but doesn't play. They brought him off the bench. They've said, well, his speed certainly can make an impact. He didn't run for Paul Goldschmidt in game one. That was very strange. We obviously critiqued that and picked that apart, rightfully so. But you can make the argument that Jason Dominguez is talented enough to make an impact. But yet, we've got the designated hitter role slated for Giancarlo Stanton. And what's to come? His September was horrific. Horrific. And some people will say, why would I want a player who was horrendous in September to be a pencil in for October? Here's why. And Jake brought these numbers up, so I want to make sure I give him credit. Jake said, Giancarlo is always horrible in September, and here's the numbers. And he was horrible in 2024, 2023, 2022, in September. Dismal. And you get to October, obviously outside of 2023, right, where we didn't make the postseason. But, guys, he's always that. You have to respect how hot he can get in October, and it's like clockwork. As soon as it's a big game in the division series, Giancarlo is ready to go. He was ready to go today. Ready to go. I mean, he was a couple feet away from hitting a home run and really cementing and just getting the place rocking right off the rip, and we didn't score from second base. It's not his fault. But, guys, Giancarlo Stanton is he can just turn it on in a flip of a script, and I can tell you that the Yankees know that. They just know what can possibly happen with him offensively, and it's the reason why Jason Dominguez doesn't get an opportunity is because he doesn't have the ceiling that Stanton has. So to see him tonight make an impact, it tells me the story. He's going to be ready for that Toronto series. I have no doubt about it, and it's the same thing with Aaron Judge, right? You're talking about some of these players getting going. It's hard to get going when you're talking about a three-game set. It's not a very long series. I know a lot of people have said it's not good, right? It's not good at all to have a three-game set, but you can't make division winners wait a week and a half for you to go win the wild card. So now that we're here, we get a full five-game schedule here, right? So that's what we want to see. Plenty of time for Stanton to get going. Plenty of time for Judge to get going, and he's got some really strong numbers against the Jays staff, some of these guys. So I'm excited to see what happens. And yes, Giancarlo was practically walking. I mean, he was looking at the dugout as the ball was going in left center field. I mean, this man's hit over 450 career home runs, and hopefully, right, if he stays healthy, he'll pass 500 home runs and maybe go to the Hall of Fame. That'd be pretty cool. But he was looking at the dugout. I mean, it looked like I was looking at 2002 Manny Ramirez. The ball didn't go out. And I know earlier this year we were talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. pimping balls to right field, and we saw Josh Donaldson do the same thing in pinstripes. You can't afford in postseason winner-take-all games We're not going to get too hard on him, but it, obviously a mistake that you can't have. He got away with it. He got to second base. Left fielder, center fielder, both lollygagging. Duran, thankfully, he was jogging. They probably thought it was gone because it's Giancarlo Stanton and his reaction to the ball. Who knows? But we got away with it. So obviously very happy about that. And what else we got? I was obviously very happy with Aaron Boone letting Schlittler pitch. We talked Cam Schlittler, Stanton, Volpe, McMahon. Ben Rice struggles versus left. Let's talk Ben Rice, because Ben Rice, that was the last hitter that I thought we have to discuss in what happened tonight. He had two wildly unproductive at-bats. It was disappointing, right? This was something that after, you know, post-game two, Jake and I, obviously, we spoke at length, a two-hour show. And for a while, we talked about what was the correct lineup for the New York Yankees. Like, what was going to be, if you looked at the lineup, what would you need to see? And a lot of the answers were, I need to see Jazz Chisholm, right? I didn't see him in game one against Crochet. Some of us understood where they were going with it, but whether or not it was the right decision to not have your best players on the field, that's another story. And we look at it and say, yeah, it's probably not the best decision to have Jazz Chisholm not touching the field. That seems like a mistake. Ben Rice, one of your hottest hitters, he didn't touch the field. Off the bench or didn't touch the field. That's a mistake. And I think Alex Cora really preyed on that and said, let's make Rosario beat us. Let's make all these other guys beat us. Let's make their bench beat us offensively. And you know what? Ben Rice played today. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to get out in front of it. I'm not going to hide from this. I thought it was the right decision to play him. And I'll tell you why. If you look at the predictions pregame, and I know nobody will live up to them. Nobody will say what they said pregame on Twitter. But most people were saying, the Boston Red Sox are all hands on deck with their staff today. They've got Crochet, who says he's ready to go. Garrett Whitlock is ready to go. Steven Matz, they said he could be ready to go. Alex Cora said, essentially, our whole staff is going to be ready. I know they're overworked yesterday, but that's what we're going to go with. A lot of people said that early, the rookie for Boston, the left-hander, oh, he's only going to throw an inning and two-thirds. It'll be an opener. Jake called it an opener. I even agreed with him. Right, we haven't seen much. He hasn't thrown over 20 innings pitch in his big league career. Why would you assume he's going to go out there and throw four or five? So Aaron Boone said, you know what? If you're going to bring a lefty out there, I'm not going to overreact and put in a right-handed hitter, leaving Ben Rice on the bench when I can have Ben Rice go out there, take what? One at bat through the lineup, one at bat against your lefty, a rookie. Ben Rice can handle the one at bat. It shouldn't kill us. And when you flip it over to Whitlock, you flip it over to a right-hander, I can have the option to use my bench later on in the game in desperation when I really need an at-bat to tee that up. Instead of reacting to what the Red Sox were doing, we made them react to us, and I thought it ended up working out. So I absolutely love that. I thought it was the right decision to make. Obviously, you watch Ben Rice come up, man on second base, two times. With really no outs, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't need a hit here. I need a productive out. All I'm looking for is you to pull the ball on the ground or in the air, get the runner from second to third base, and now we move the responsibility to the next hitter to get the ball in the air or through the infield. It's just that simple. Ben Rice struck out both at-bats in those situations, so it obviously did not get the job done. Doesn't bode well for making the same decision in the Toronto series. I hope they remain consistent with that decision, but you have to imagine that they may not, unfortunately. And let's see. I want to get to our supers here. Scott Ross, thank you for the five. Really appreciate it. And also a member here at Yankees Unloaded. And by the way, guys, if you want to become a member and support the channel in a big way, you can hit the join button below. It is a great way to become a member. We are going to be coming out very soon with our emojis and everything that'll go on all of our members' names. So we really appreciate it. And he says, not looking forward to a rotation anchored by Crochet and Early down the road. Nobody is. I thought I was looking at Cliff Lee, to be honest with you. That's who I saw in him. And you know what was really interesting about watching him? You can always tell when somebody is next level, when it looks difficult to hit on TV. Hitting looks pretty easy on TV. I'll I would argue that, and I think a lot of people, even professional baseball players, they say it all the time. They're like, man, a hitting looks so easy on TV, but we don't see the ball as long as you do. When you see the ball behind the pitcher's, you know, behind their arm, you see the ball release much more clean than what we see it. But man, when you watch early, he understands tunneling, right? He understands where his release point is. He understands repeating his mechanics. He didn't look like a rookie today. I mean, if he didn't have the clean shave, if he didn't have the clean shave, and you wouldn't know, right? If you could black out his face, you would have no clue how old that kid was, because he was unshakable. And I'm just glad the Yankees find a way to get to him, found a way to put the ball in play, because he was shutting us down early. So yeah, Scott, I would agree with you. I'm not looking forward to it either. And Mr. Shaman with the five, really appreciate the five, says 2026 MLB best rotation freed. Schlittler, gotta love that you're putting Schlittler, Rodon, Skeens, Alcantara in a Warren Schmidt combo trade. Yeah, I did tweet, so I don't know if you saw the tweet, but I said Cam Schlittler's gonna look like one hell of a two behind Paul Skeens. I mean, I would love Paul Skeens and pinstripes. You guys know what I think about Paul Skeens. Everyone will want the guy. We understand. We get it. But I'm really proud of Cam Schlittler, man. I am. So go ahead. I'm sure our winner of our jersey giveaway at 10,000 subscribers probably was thinking, I probably should have bought a Cam Schlittler jersey, but you know, next time we'll do another giveaway, obviously, whether it probably 15,000 subscribers, we'll figure it out. But I would say the Yankees. Yeah. Hey, welcome. By the way, I hear you're saying Skeens for life. I thought it was J-Dom, right? We've got a lot of Jason Dominguez fans, obviously, in our comments. That's a mod of ours. So thank you, welcome. Let's not get ahead of ourselves with our rotation. I just want to be excited about the now rather than the future. That's what I want people mentally to get at when it comes to the New York Yankees. Rather than saying, I've got this young kid, what's he going to be? What's this guy going to be in 2026? What's he going to be in 2027? We can win championships. What can he help us do now? Hey, that's the mentality. I want to see Brian Cashman get into that mentality. I want to see Aaron Boone get into that mentality. And if you continue to utilize arms, young arms, who deserve it, not just for the hell of it, but when they go out there and show you, I'm a big game pitcher, put the trust in them that they can do it right now. They've been built up pitch count wise and with reps to go do this. They can be trusted. And Aaron Boone put trust into Cam Schlittler tonight. He delivered, protecting our bullpen in a major way ahead of a series. So really proud of it. Obviously, Donnie Clark says, Gary think it will be Heel, then Freed, then Rodon, then Schlittler next series. You know, I'm going to say that's exactly how it goes, Donnie. I'm glad you put this in our live chat, so thank you, obviously, for getting involved. Thank you guys for being in our live chat as well. I've been trying to catch up with our supers. Donnie says, yeah, I mean, Heel and then Freed. So you have to imagine Heel can be trusted on the road. We saw him in a big start at Fenway Park, and he dominated, right? Luis Heel has great numbers against Boston. We expected that start to go well. But Heel can go out there and pitch on the road. He's done so. And he can go out there, pitch game one, Freed on full rest, right? He'll have his full 5 days off. We'll go out there and pitch a game two. And now you've got Rodon and Schlittler at the stadium. We just saw what Cam Schlittler did at Yankee Stadium in this winner take all. So the real advantage for the Yankees are going to be game three and game four. That's where you're seeing the major advantage. Heel and Freed, those games are going to be dogfights. You're playing on the road in Toronto. They play really well over there. Tough lineup. They're going to put the ball in play. Pitch count will be a major factor every single start. Home, road, it will not matter. This is the one thing that Toronto will do. This is their calling card. The Arizona Diamondbacks did this in 2023 where they said, we understand that a lot of teams want to hit home runs. We want to hit homers as well. Power is great. Ops plus, all those numbers are valuable, but teams aren't prepared for us to attack offensively in the way that we are. We're looking at guys like Corbin Carroll. We're going to slap the ball the other way. We're going to be tough to strike out. Your pitcher's only designed really to go five innings, but against us, you may be looking to pull them out in the third or fourth. Is your bullpen ready for a series against that? Arizona moved on to the World Series, and obviously nobody watched that except for about me and Jake, but it was the lowest rated World Series because it's not a sexy way to play, but Toronto's decided this is how we want to go about it, and they're one of the most consistent offenses. So yeah, game three and game four, major advantages there. And is that true? Itchy says that Scherzer is slated for game three. That would be an interesting choice to go Scherzer. And we tried, right? Because this is a future first ballot Hall of Famer. So we want to make sure there's respect on his name. But this is a 40-plus year old Max Scherzer. This can very well go south for the Jays in a hurry. It just can, right? And he still knows how to pitch. The stuff's still fine, but will the execution be where it needs to be at this stage of his career? I'm just not sure, especially on the road at Yankee Stadium. If that happens, who knows what they do? But nobody's sleeping on the young gun out with the Jays, because we know what he's done. We saw it down the stretch in September, what he did against some teams that obviously hadn't gotten a look at him. And it's advantage him when it comes to facing the Yankees lineup, because they haven't seen him. Very similar to what you saw tonight from Cam Schlittler. Red Sox hitters were like, oh, hey, Cam Schlittler, we've heard of him, right? We know exactly who he is, but we haven't seen that arm slot. We haven't seen the stuff, haven't seen the cutter or that curveball. And it showed. It did. So I'm giving the Jays a ton of credit. I'm trying to do my absolute best to do so. The Toronto Blue Jays offensively have the right game plan to deal with the Yankees, but it's going to be fire with fire. So do we have any remaining questions, concerns? I do see CT in the comment section saying Bellinger is day-to-day. Let me take a look at that, because I didn't see that at all, and I don't know why that would be. So let me go ahead and take a look real quick before we go. So I see here from Brian Hoke reporting 59 minutes ago, so obviously you really appreciate Brian for the report, says Cody Bellinger left foot was limping tonight. He was receiving treatment, but says he's expected to be ready for ALDS game one. And obviously here is a video of Cody Bellinger just getting sprayed with champagne. So there you go, guys. Now we can spray the champagne. I know some of you were upset that we sprayed champagne for our wild card berth. Here we are. So Cody Bellinger is going to play. Offensively, he hasn't exactly been the same player. That he was 1-for-4 with a double today, did score a run, so there was some value there. The defense was solid. Never a problem with him, but he's ready for game one, so all is fine. Yeah, Alex has barely ran to first. I mean, we've seen that before, though. We definitely have. All right. So still high on Ben Rice. Yeah, still high on Ben Rice. Still want him to perform against lefty pitching. I don't want us to go away from it. Horrible day offensively for him. But guys, one of the greatest performances of all time that you guys witnessed today. So I want you guys, and I do see a super chat here, so I want to make sure I don't skip anybody. Mr. Shaman 76 with the 2 says Agent 31, the Schlitt man. I love Agent 31. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So appreciate the super. Yeah. And B Rye says, I agreed with playing tonight. Yeah. It's not always just a bad decision because someone didn't play well. Oh, I guess they shouldn't have played. Sometimes you play the right players, they don't play well. Right. Aaron Judge has had his fair share of poor postseason games. It doesn't mean we shouldn't play him. We've got to ride it out and see if the power shows up in October. And I believe that it will. I know Jake also believes that it will. But guys, drop in who you believe should start game one in the comment section below. You can put it in the live chat, but it will disappear into the ether. This live chat, we can go back and watch it if you so choose. But after this jabroni podcaster is off the set and we're no longer live, you can reload into the channel and drop it down there so everybody gets an opportunity to see your name and your prediction as far as who pitches game one on the road for Saturday's game one. Drop that in the comment section. I see some heel from Derek Jakes, J-Rod Noel, heel, JG Insight, Luis Heel. So I want to see exactly what everyone thinks. I will be going in there. Jake will also be going in there and commenting back. And we'll see, and give us a prediction as well as far as how you think he's going to fare. Does Aaron Boone go to the bullpen? now that this pen is rested, now that Devin Williams is rested, they're going to want to get these guys acclimated to the series and ready to go to steal game one. Operation steal game one or two. We'll see which game they steal. Hopefully one of two before we come back home to see Rodon and Schlittler. Maybe another encore performance. Who knows, right? A lot on our plate. Drop in the comment section. Make sure you guys subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. If you haven't yet, hit that bell icon to be notified when we go live. We go live after every single game. Every game, win or loss, 162 games a year, and then some. And we'll also be doing winter meetings later this year. Hopefully we see we'd love to see a Paul Skeens trade, but that's neither here nor there. We'll be there. We'll be there covering it. And make sure you guys like this video.